I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be here today.
Amen.
It's kind of good that the pastor wants to be here too, right? But, you know, but I look forward to it because, you know, the Lord is with us. Yeah. And in such a special way today. And, you know, thank you for coming, by the way. You know, sometimes it's a battle that goes on, isn't there? There's a battle going on for allegiance. Who are you going to obey? What part are you going to yield to? That old flesh, that sin nature that rebels, that says, I don't want anything to do with it. Or I don't want to be bothered. Or the other part of you, that hunger, that desire that's there in your spirit, man, that cries out for God, the living God, to be filled with Him, to be satisfied in Him. I mean, I know you got to quit listening to that other voice, right? And you got to take those thoughts captive. And we need to ask the question, what does the Lord want me to do today? You know, not how do I feel or nobody will miss me, whatever. What does the Lord want me to do? How many know that's God's plan for us to gather?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody is part of something bigger, amen, than ourselves. And if you're in Christ, you're part of the body of Christ. And that means you're supposed to be connecting with the body of Christ, amen, because you have something to bring to the table, amen. And I know there are things that we got to deal with. If your mule falls into the ditch on the Sabbath, as some would, you know, we're living in the Sabbath rest of the Lord, aren't we? Amen. And we worship today as the beginning of the week, right, the first day, but the resurrection day, right? And so we live in the resurrection. Now, if somebody in China is worshiping today, it might be on Saturday, right? But I don't get hung up over days, but I do think it's important that we gather. Why? Because God's word tells us to do that.
Amen.
Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How many saw that in your bulletin? It's been there for so long, nobody even sees it anymore, right? It's like that thing you have by the door that I'm going to have to return that to so-and-so. And if you don't get it right away, it's going to be there a couple months later, right? It just becomes part of the furniture. So we don't want the Word of God to become part of the furniture, amen? We need to be devouring the Word, and hallelujah, His life, His Word is life to us. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so it is like that, isn't it, in our earthly relationships, in our marriages. But you know, we in the Lord are married to one who is ever faithful, does not change. He is totally committed to us, amen. And but He wants us, amen, to respond to that commitment and to that love He has for us and be faithful to Him as well. And how many agree that Jesus deserves our faithfulness too?
Amen.
Amen. We are considered a Pentecostal church. And because we emphasize the importance of the power of God in our Christian service and the importance of the Holy Spirit working through the church, we can do a lot of things, even Christian things, independent of God. You can have well-oiled machine working, corporate, and everything in its place, all the programs, all right? But if God's not in it, it's dead. You're not really bringing people the help they need. What we need to do is bring Jesus to people, amen, and not ourselves. And so we understand the importance of being filled and led by the Holy Spirit in everything we do, knowing that it's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. The title of the message today is Pentecost Makes the Difference. We want to see people change. We want to see people saved, healed, delivered. Amen. Set free from bondage. You know, we want to see the works of Satan destroyed. Amen. In people's lives. And of course, some people will criticize this way. And some may even claim that there is no power available today for God's people. How sad is that? Then what do you actually have if you don't have the substance, which is Christ, the Anointed One, amen? He has sent His Spirit into our hearts. But we have to, first of all, be born of His Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be within us. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit has to have an available, willing, yielded vessel to work through. Amen. And so to the degree that we're willing to yield to Him, that will be the degree of His life expression through us. If we want to just do our own thing and put a Christian label on it, it's going to be dead. But if we're doing what He's doing and we're saying what He's saying, it'll be life. Jesus was our example, our model. Everything He did was in agreement with the Father's will. He didn't have an agenda of His own. And it's easy to get caught up, even in a local church, with our own agendas and, you know, things we think are good ideas. How many know that there are many good ideas, but then there is the right idea? And the right idea is to submit to God and allow Him to be in charge of your plans and everything you do. Commit everything you do to Him. Trust Him. He'll bring it to pass. So if God speaks to us and He says, I want you to do this. If you know God has spoken to you, then you don't live by the way things may appear in the journey, if you know what I'm saying. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be uncertainties. There's going to be things that happen that go contrary to what we had envisioned would happen in our lives. Sometimes it's that way in ministry. You have these dreams and these visions and these goals of doing these great things. And so you set your hand to the plow and you get busy with things and you're thinking, this is just going to turn out just like I had envisioned it would. And how many know that the just shall live by faith and they will walk by faith? It's a step-by-step process. Amen. And if God gives you a vision, if He gives you a word, if He gives you a responsibility, then regardless of how it appears or how things seem to be, we commit ourselves to that because it is God's will. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. God will provide for it. Amen. God will make it happen in His season. So we get out and we plant our gardens. Amen. We don't go out the next day and say, well, where's all the fruit at? Amen. There's a season for everything. So we have to be consistent. We need to be faithfully committed to the plan of God for our lives. Amen. And regardless of how it appears, amen, we need to know that if it's what God has called me to do, that God in His season will bring a harvest. How many know that Abraham is still receiving the benefits of his faith today? And he's been in heaven a long time, but because he believed God, he became father of many nations. Amen. And father of faith. You and I are recipients of that. It's through his lineage. Amen. The Messiah came. So what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost means the 50th day. It was the Jewish Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. So Pentecost is connected or associated with harvest. God knew that we could not produce without Him. Come on. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? We can only produce the fruit of God as we abide in Him. The fruit of the Spirit. So the Lord told His disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. He said, don't go out running up ahead of me now. Wait on my timing. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit has come, He will lead you into all truth. Remember? Right? He'll remind you of everything I said and He'll even show you things to come. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit is here? Amen? And if you're born again, then the Spirit of God is in you. And that Spirit will cry out, Abba, Father. There will be a heart of worship. A praise to God. When you're filled with Jesus, your life will express Jesus. We're diffusers. Amen? If you're connected, if you're abiding in Him, your life will diffuse the Lord. Amen? How many know what a diffuser is? You know, those little perfume bottles, and then you put those sticks in there, that's called a diffuser, right? As long as it's abiding in the perfume, amen, that's going to release what? The fragrance. And so you and I are diffusers for the Lord, but we cannot be a diffuser for the Lord if we're not abiding in the Lord. Hello. But our Lord Jesus had gone before us as the Passover lamb. He was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, He rose again. And from that point, if you count 50 days, it would land right on the day that we read about in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, which is also the birth of the church. And in Luke 24:46, Jesus told his disciples after his resurrection, and this is before he ascended back into heaven. By the way, the Bible says that he was 40 days on the earth, revealing himself to people after he rose. Amen. And so 40 days, and you add 10 to that. Amen. That would be 50. So it was actually he ascended 10 days before the Holy Spirit descended. Now, Patty would know that because she's a numbers person. And she's very good at, she knows the word very well. But after our Lord's resurrection, again, before he ascended, this is what he told them. Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The Old Testament God, right, is the same God of today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And God spoke through the prophets of old. And he prophesied about that day that would come after Jesus ascended. And that he would send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Amen? That would come on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. But in the Old Testament, God anointed the prophets and the priests and the kings. Amen? With his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the source of their knowledge, of their wisdom, of their authority, and of their miraculous abilities. And so those who were anointed, amen, had special giftings and abilities that the average Joe did not. All right? And so God chose specific people for specific purposes in the Old Covenant. All right? But the good news is that today, come on, God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. His power would not be delegated to just a few, but it would be made available to the church, that's you and I, the people of God, to do what? To fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamic working power, after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, also martyrs. Amen. We will give our lives for Jesus. We will live our lives for Jesus, a sacrificial life for Jesus. Amen. How many know that you cannot lose if you give your life to Jesus? Amen. Jesus said if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. How many know it's a worthy exchange, amen, to exchange the inferior for the superior? For that which, amen, can pass away, for that which cannot pass away. God wants us to have a treasure in heaven that will never fade or perish. And here's the prophet Joel speaking of this outpouring in chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, not just prophets, priests, and kings, or select individuals, but on what? All flesh. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, Peter confirmed this, didn't he, when he stood up. And it was verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they were united. They had a single goal, to wait on the Lord. How many would agree that's a good idea? Yeah. Isn't it special when we all like come together, pull together, and say, together we're going to seek the Lord's presence? The more that we do that, the better it is. How many know that you can be a hindrance if you're counting tile while other people are worshiping the Lord? Just saying. And suddenly, I love it when God does these suddenlies. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. Amen. Everybody was being gathered at that point in time. God had strategically placed them there so that they would take, amen, what they had received to the nations. And verse 6, and when this sound occurred, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Amen. And appeared upon them what? Cloven tongues of fire. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to what? Speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were confused, though, because there's people respond different ways to the Holy Spirit. You know, some people, they get weirded out. Some people are confused. Some people think, well, what are these people on? What are they taking, right? Because that's what they just said. They said, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own language in which we were born? And he goes on to list the different representatives here from the different nations at that time. In verse 12, it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed. What were they? Amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? I can remember the first time I encountered people speaking in tongues and being in a service where the Holy Spirit was really moving. In fact, I was a little kid when I first had that taste of that. And I was kind of like, wow, what is going on here? But people were really happy. I remember that. It seemed like they were having a pretty good time. How many know that God knows how to, amen, to give a good time? How many know in his presence is fullness of, it didn't say fullness of gloom, but fullness of joy. Amen. How many know that the Lord serves only the best? All right. You don't need the inferior wine of this world. You just need to drink of his presence. Hallelujah. And rejoice in him. He will satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. Hallelujah. And others were mocking. That's another response sometimes. They'll just mock it. I remember the pastor that mentored me when I first came to the Lord. And he was a World War II vet, old school Pentecostal guy. But he says he's talking about when he was young. He says they would actually, in the church, they would put the women and children in the middle of the church, and the men would be on the outside, because you never knew when a brick would fly through the window or something, because they would mock, you know, those holy rollers. And this is in the U.S., you know, but there's nothing new under the sun. You know, people, sometimes they just don't get it. And I've also heard of testimonies where people got drunk and they thought, well, we're going to come in here and we're going to disrupt this service. A bunch of drunk guys, and guess what? They got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. God transformed their lives. The power of God got a hold of them. How many know that God can sober you up really quick? Ask me, because I know that's what happened to me. I got sober really quick. Hallelujah. But here, Peter, he was outspoken. Naturally, he was a bold, brash kind of guy, you know, a type A. But he stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. And so their day would begin at 6. That means it was only 9 o'clock in the morning when this happened. All right. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God. Here he is reiterating, right? That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So are dreams and visions for today? Does God give dreams and visions? Yes. Amen. According to the word of God. All right. Now we need to judge all things. And, amen. Including prophecies. Amen. And we need the spirit and the word to be at work there. Amen. God doesn't contradict himself. All right. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, God's saying, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And I believe that God is, but there are only certain people that are going to respond. Some people love this present world. They're more concerned about the temporary life that they live than the things of eternity, the things of God. But how many know, once again, you can't lose if you invest your life now for the kingdom? It's interesting to note, again, that Peter was, remember, he was the one that did what? He denied the Lord, didn't he? He denied the Lord. Not only did he denied him with oaths, swearing he didn't know him, right? And then curses. Is now the one, he's now taking a stand to address the crowd. What happened? Well, Peter was no longer shrinking back in fear. He had become bold as a lion. How many know the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion? Huh? Peter, why? He's now filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost makes a difference. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be immersed, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In order to be a bold, confident witness for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can do a lot of Christian things, but we cannot produce any fruit. It's God that people need. Amen. We need to present Christ to people, and God will work through a vessel that's willing to yield and allow His Spirit to work through them. Amen. Not relying upon their own ability, but the ability that God supplies by His Spirit. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. The people were speaking in languages they never learned. This is tongues. There was this initial evidence. This was the initial evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But also with this came a supernatural boldness that they did not possess to proclaim the truth. And God also would confirm His word with accompanying signs, salvation and healing and deliverance. Amen. And miracles. How many know that these are things that should be normal for a Christian? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many can agree with me there's more that I need to grow into? Yes. And step out into even. And a lot of times it's just stepping out when God tells you to step out. What was the difference here for Peter? It was Pentecost. It was a move of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now he could boldly stand for Jesus. Because he was filled. So we need to know, and people, God's people need to be aware today, amen, that there is power available to them. God does not want a weak, anemic, right, church. Come on. Shrinking back in fear, afraid of our own tail. Are you hearing me? God wants His people to be strong in Him, and He is the one that will provide us with a supernatural boldness. If we will seek Him, we will find Him. And when you find Him, you will find a supernatural confidence that comes from Him that you don't possess naturally. God will take shy individuals and make them bold for Him. Fearless, where there's no fear of man. How many like to live free of the fear of man? Amen?
Yes.
How many know what it's like to be fearful of man? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Every one of us in here has been fearful of people before. Amen? That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome our insecurities, overcome our weakness. Amen? And so we need to long and actually thirst for what God is making available to us today to empower us to be a bold witness for Him so we can stand up and fight the good fight of faith so that we can finish our course with joy, amen, because we have trusted in the Lord. And hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I find that when I delight myself in God, He becomes my delight. And the lesser things lose their luster. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longing of our soul. God wants His people immersed in the power of His Holy Spirit. Because we're no match for the adversary that we face. That is why God wants us endued with His power. The good news is that God makes available to us everything we need.
Amen.
That pertains to life and godliness. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it's good that we recognize our weakness. our natural weakness. So then we will draw from the strength of the Lord and rely upon His ability to be the people we're supposed to be. People need the Lord, amen, and they need to see the Lord in us. God wants to express Himself. He wants to diffuse Himself through His people as they abide in Him. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Acts 2:39, the promise is to you and to your children. What's the promise of the Father? The blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, I've said this before. If you are a believer, a child of God, then the Spirit of Christ must be in you. Amen. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're actually not a child of God. You can do church things, nice things, charities, all these things. But if you don't have Christ, you're none of His. You do not belong to Him. You're not a child of God. So you've got to have the Holy Spirit in you, amen, to be property of the Lord. He sends His Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, amen. We become a son, a daughter through the new birth. Amen. But then we need to take a step further. We need to then begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to give the Holy Spirit the permission to be Lord of our lives. To lead us each day. Hallelujah. And as we are faithful in obeying His instructions, even in the little things, then He gives you more. He gives you more responsibility. He gives you greater authority as you prove faithful with what He's already entrusted to you. Is this making sense? Just like we would give our children more responsibility as they have proven themselves to be reliable, to be trustworthy. Amen. As they're obeying the instructions of their parents. Okay, Johnny, you're 3 years old. It's not time for the car keys yet, all right? We're going to have to mature a little bit here. You're going to have to learn a few things, all right? But if we will be faithful each day, step by step, no matter what happens, trust the Lord, call upon Him, continue in Him and His Word, amen? God will take you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, amen? And His will be accomplished through your life. But God wants us to be immersed, His people to be immersed with His power so we can bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That our Lord is the living God. Amen. And that He dwells in His church. He is the head. We are the body. Amen. He is the commander in chief and we are the expression of Him in the earth realm. Amen. But we have to abide in Him. Amen. In order to be that expression. Hallelujah. That's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we read and study and internalize the Word of God. Amen. That's why we have fellowship meetings like such as this today. God's not a respecter of persons. He's rich to all who call upon Him in sincerity. You know, sometimes we can think, well, I'm just a nobody. Well, praise God, because God can use a nobody. Amen. Amen? Like me. And He'll make somebody out of a nobody, right? God saw value in you. And God wants you to have what He has for you. Amen? Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, right? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those, or good gifts to those who ask Him? He wants you to have what He has for you. Amen. But we want it. We have to hunger for that. Amen. Thirst for Him. God will fill up the hungry. But He's not a respecter of persons. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Do you call upon Him? Now, if Jesus thought it was necessary for the early church to be endued with power from on high, then it is certainly necessary for us today. Would you agree? I mean, if you want to live an anemic, weak, defeated life, just keep going the way you are without God, amen, doing your own thing, and once in a while when you get in trouble bringing God into the picture, Or you can say, Lord, I want you to be Lord over my destiny, over my life. I want to walk with you each day. Amen. And I want you to build me up and grow me up into you. And I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to be an expression of you in this world. Amen. The early church needed to continually call on the Lord. And so should we. Well, I remember back in 19... at an altar. Well, praise God, that was the beginning. What have you done since? How many know that you got to come back and drink? You got to keep, because we leak out, right? You need to stay refreshed in the Lord. You need to continually eat and drink of Him, if you will. Worship in spirit. Amen? And stay refreshed in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's some people, they're just living out of yesterday's bread, you know. It's all dry and moldy and stale, and they're just... yeah, never mind. Moving on. God says, I want you to have what I got today for you. I got something fresh for you. I've got some fresh manna for you. I've got some fresh fire for you. Amen. I want to pour some fresh oil into your vessel, and I want you to be lit up. Amen. And I want you to light up the night. Amen. We're night lights. Light up the night. But the early church knew that they needed to continually call on the Lord to receive the refreshing that God would send them from heaven. You know, we've had a taste of the refreshing. We're having a taste today. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshing. We want more even. There's more. More to come. Hallelujah. So when Peter and John were told to remain silent by the Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin, instead of panicking, they cried out to the Lord. You see, a lot of people, we do impulsive things. We get into fear and we do something impulsive. Oh, well, what am I going to do? You know, instead of saying, Lord, what are we going to do? Don't be saying, what am I going to do? It's like, Lord, what are we going to do? He's with you. Just hook up with Him and say, okay, Lord, we're going to do this thing together. If we got to walk through the water, I know who's walking with me. Amen. If I got to walk through the fire, I know who's in the fire with me. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be there. And so the early church was being threatened here, told that they couldn't speak any longer in this name, the name of Jesus. And so what did they do? They said in verse 29 of Acts chapter 4, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we read that in Acts chapter 2? And they did what? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you find yourself being timid, shy? Praise God, there's a solution. Amen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will make you bold for Him. He'll make you strong. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us depending on ourselves. He wants us to recognize our weakness so we'll come to Him for strength. His strength. So they made three specific requests here. Number one, they said, Lord, look on their threats. They didn't dictate to God, you know, how He should deal with the wicked. They said, Lord, take notice of what's happening here to us. And then two, grant to your servants boldness. So their personal safety, by the way, wasn't the important thing. They asked the Lord to make them fearless in preaching the word of God. And then they said, stretch out your hand, Lord, and that signs and wonders will be performed in the name of Jesus. In other words, they were saying, Lord, we're asking you to confirm your word with accompanying signs. And when they had prayed, the place where they were was assembled was what? Shaken. Why? Because God wants His church to be on fire for Him. God wants His people to be strong in Him. Amen. And God has given you and I an opportunity to come and drink and be filled and to be an overflowing cup for Him in a world that desperately needs the Lord. Come on. They were all filled. And because they were united, they came together because they were under threat. How many little threats can bring people together? Amen? And they yielded to the Lord, and they continued to speak of the Word of God with boldness because God had enabled them by His Spirit to do so. Pentecost is what makes a difference. An important thing to remember is that they were all in one accord, seeking the Lord together. Somebody say together for His help, right? Unity is important for any local church of God. You know, a good way to quench the Spirit or to shut off the flow of the Spirit is for people to be grumbling and complaining and fighting among themselves. Amen. But I find that if we would encourage the church just to draw near to God, amen, then we'll overcome that flesh, that other part of us, amen, that would be contentious, that would cause arguments and fights, amen, and division. But if we would draw near to God, we'll have the heart of Jesus in us, and the heart of Jesus causes us to love everybody. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Jesus said you can love your enemies. No, you can't do that with your natural love. But if you're full of Jesus, you can. How many know we were enemies to God and He loved us first? That's the kind of love I want to be filled with. I love this. Psalms 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. Remember, Aaron was the high priest. How many know that our Lord Jesus is our great high priest? Amen. Running down on what? The edge of His garments. How many know Jesus is our high priest? He's our head in heaven, amen? And you and I are His body, His garments, right? And when we're together in unity and seeking the Lord commands the blessing. It says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Hallelujah. So it's good and pleasant when we're together in unity. It's fragrant, it's refreshing, and it is a sure guarantee of God's blessing. And the oil flows from the head. Amen. How many say I can use some more oil? Hebrews 10:21, and having a high priest over the house of God. Amen. Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is symbolic language. Our bodies represent our lives. Amen. The pure water refers to the Holy Spirit using the Word in cleansing our lives from daily defilement. So we're cleansed from the guilt of sin by the blood of Christ sprinkled upon us. Amen. Takes away the guilt and the shame. But we're cleansed repetitively from the defilement of sin by the Spirit through two things really primarily. One is confession. Amen. Confession of sin. Also confession of the promises. But also through the Word of God. Jesus said, you are clean through the Word that I have spoken to you. We want to hear from the Lord. We want to hear the Word of the Lord. Amen. When you come here, you're not wanting to hear from me. You want to hear the Lord. Amen. Speak through me. And that's what I pray. Lord, just reach through me. Speak through me. Touch through me. Amen. Because I can't save anyone. Only He can. I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit, but He can. Amen. But God can use us as a vessel to reach out to others. Amen. And I believe that. And I believe that you can receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, because it's biblical. David wrote this, I believe, or the psalmist. He was often refreshed by the Lord, because David was a man that hungered for the Lord's presence. It's very clear. You read the Psalms. I love the Psalms. David thirsted for God. He hungered for God. He had a heart after God's own heart. Even when he blew it, amen, God still recognized the fact that David had a heart for Him. Amen? God wants us also to come to Him for rest. All right? He wants us to come to Him for refreshing, for cleansing, and for strength in our weakness. As I cannot do what I do apart from the Holy Spirit. I know there are people that are in pulpits, And you can usually tell when you listen to them that they're just operating from their head. All right? And they may have a good sermon, but if there's no power, if there's no presence in that, what's the point? I mean, God can use anything. He can speak through a donkey, amen? He uses me, you know? But God wants to work through His body, amen? And He's not a respecter of person. God wants to fill every one of His people with His Holy Spirit. He wants to baptize your hearts, amen, with His holy fire. Amen. He wants to light you up for Him because He wants to work through your life, amen, to express Him in this world. We are supposed to be diffusing the Lord in every place. Well, you can't diffuse anything if you're not abiding in the fragrance, and that is Christ. Amen. How many can say, you know what, I could use some more today? I've been blessed already, have you? Hasn't it been good to be here? Are you getting hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for the Lord? Okay, we'll see in just a minute here. But when our lives are filled with Jesus, we're going to shine for Him. And others will take note that we have been with Him. Right? Just like the disciples, was it Peter and John? They said, they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen, but they took note of them because they had been with who? With Jesus. So God's not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for someone who will come to Him. Amen? And abide in Him and be faithful to Him and be a vessel for Him. How many want to be a vessel for the Lord?
Oh, amen.
Amen? How many say, you know, I want more of Him? Hallelujah. I want to grow up in Him. Amen? You know, if you get to a place where you say, well, I've already had enough. I've already arrived. I've already gotten everything I need. You know, and what happens when a tree stops growing? It starts dying. We are the planting of the Lord, amen, and we should be continually growing, amen? God wants to build you and me up, amen, and make us into vessels of honor for Him that He can use. And it's not something that, you know, we should fear, amen? It's something that we should delight in because we're saying, Lord, what can I do for You? You went to the cross for me. You died for me. You shed Your blood for me. What can I do for You? How can I love You back the rest of my life?
Amen.
That's true worship, is giving yourself back to Him. It's not just singing, amen, a song. It's giving our lives over to Him, our life to be an expression of worship. Amen. And God wants us to be immersed in His presence. There is joy in His presence. There is fullness in His presence. There's satisfaction. There's peace. There's perfect love in His presence. Do you need a fresh touch from the Lord today? Today is what we call Pentecost Sunday. I like to think that every Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Amen? But today is Pentecost Sunday. Wouldn't this be a great time, amen, to just come and get a refreshing from the Lord, to take a moment, maybe an hour or two. Who knows what God will do. But just to come and gather, all right, and spend some time. And we want to do something today. We've done this before in the past, but I'd like to ask the... Well, you guys are up here, so I want you guys to stand up, if you will. I'm just going to pick on a few people. Amen. Gabe, you want to get on this? Come on, brother. You and Sue, come on up. All right. I want you guys to stand right through here. Bob and Retha, come on up. And you guys get up on this side. You know we're going with this already, don't you? Hallelujah. Anybody else want to get on this? Paula, you want to come up? Paul? You feeling up to it? Yeah, Paul, you can join him too. Hallelujah. Elaine, you want to come? You want to join us? What we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to baptize you with His Holy Spirit and with His fire. Okay, it's called a prayer tunnel. Okay, and we're just going to kind of spread it out here. We're going to invite people that want to come up and be prayed for just to come up through here. Amen. And we're going to pray that God is just going to pour into you a refreshing today. He's going to send strength to you. Amen. And he's going to light you up today for him. How many would say, I could use some more oil in my lamp? I could use more of Jesus. Amen. So I don't want you to be in a circle. I want you just to come like here. Okay, that's good. Like that. Two lines and move over here. So no, you got to go parallel here this way. Just come over here and face the, there we go. All right. All right. You can stand right there, Karen. That's good. All right. Hallelujah. So, Patty, you want to come up too? You enjoying? You look like you want to be part of this. So come on up. Anybody else? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to come, and we're simply going to ask Jesus, amen, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit today. All right? And whatever the Lord has for you, say, Lord, that's what I want. You know, Jesus said, if you ask, you know, for a loaf of bread from somebody, you know, or if you ask, a son of yours asks for an egg, all right, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you something that's going to be harmful. So if you're asking Jesus for the Holy Spirit, amen, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get a demon. You're not going to get some weird thing. Amen. Come on, this is a demon-free zone today. Praise God. Amen. But if you guys want to get on in on this and get prayed for, we're just going to pray that God will immerse you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you need healing in your body. Come and believe God for your miracle today. God is still healing today. We have many people that have been healed today. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you just need to recommit your life to the Lord. I want you to come and I want you to just walk through. Amen. Take your time and walk through. And as you walk, we're going to pray for you. All right. Who's going to be the first one to get in on this? All right. Come on up, Donna. Just make a line right over here, right along this right here. And then as you come through, we're going to be praying and believing God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray the manifestation of your Spirit and of your power. For the Lord, for the manifestation right now, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we pray that you immerse, that you will touch, that you'll baptize every heart, Lord, that is in this line right now. Lord, that you'll set them ablaze for you. And in Jesus' name, I feel the glory of God. Come on, you got to get in on this right now. I'm telling you. There's been a shift right now in the Holy Spirit. Come on. So just go ahead and reach out towards them as they come through and pray over them. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
And you're going to walk right through here. And then, Elaine, you're going to have to let them out that way, okay? And just take your time. Just take your time. So go ahead and pray for them as they go. Hallelujah. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for my sister, that you'd bless her and refresh her and strengthen her.